Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody better grab that. Stop thanking everybody and fall on your face and thank God. He is the source of your strength.
Thank you.
I'ma thank God for my yesterday.
Thank you
for lifting me up.
Thank you
for not letting me fall.
Thank you.
I should be in jail.
Thank you.
I should be dead.
Thank you.
I should have OD'd.
Thank you.
I should have died of AIDS.
Thank you.
I should have been crazy.
Thank you.
But look at me.
Thank you
for what I learned from my yesterday.
Thank you.
Got another chance.
Thank you
that you forgave me.
Thank you.
Got to take a moment.
Thank you.
God is faithful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It didn't go quite the way I wanted it to, but that's not what I'm going to focus on. I'ma thank God that I didn't commit suicide. I'ma thank God that I didn't lose my job. I'ma thank God that I didn't lose my mind. I'ma thank God that I did get this deal closed. I'ma thank God that when everybody eulogized me, I'm still here. I wanna thank God that when I thought I was gonna fall down and thought, how many times did you say, I don't think I can make it through this and you through that? I'ma thank God for my yesterday. I think I ought to take a moment right now to thank God for all the stuff that he has blessed me with. Even though I didn't get the car, I had bus fare. Even though I didn't get the house, I could pay my rent. Even though I went to bed alone, I wasn't lonely. Even though I've got to take a moment to thank God. I didn't get the new dress, but I ain't looking too shabby. I didn't get the new shoes, but I don't have holes in them. I did get, come on somebody, somebody needs to look back, not with regret, but say thank you. And it won't be regrets. You'll say, at least I got my life. I thank God I got my family. I thank God that I'm walking. I thank God that I'm talking. I thank God that I even got a job. I thank God that I got some friends. I thank God that I'm able to get up this morning. I thank God that I'm able to catch the bus. When I look back on yesterday, those that are in the spirit, well, thank God for where they are. I thank God that I'm not divorced. I thank God that I'm still alive. I thank God that I can think in my right mind. Somebody needs to start thanking God, because if you can start thanking God, it brings you into the manifestation of where he is. I'm thanking you for my yesterday. I'm thanking you for my trials. I'm thanking you for what I've been through. Don't sit there and look at me. I'm not preaching to you. You need to open up your mouth.
Cut your dang on
radio. I wanna get lost, I wanna get lost, I wanna get lost in you. I wanna get lost, I wanna get lost, I wanna get lost in you. I'm trying to find peace, I'm trying to find rest, I'm trying to find love in all your goodness. I'm trying to find hope, I'm trying to find faith, I'm trying to find strength in all your greatness. I've been searching for you, I've been looking around. Have my head to the sky and my shoes on the ground. In every town, in every city, wherever I roam, I want your spirit with me. I wanna be lost in the spirit, lost. A navigation system. Fill me with your knowledge and all of your wisdom. I'm so deep in you, can't nobody find me. Your spirit and truth is all that surrounds me. I feel like I'm out of my league. I ain't never been here before. Your spirit's taking over me. I just want you to give me more.
Thank you.
Come on.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta
let out my dreams.
Miss Sandra, and I'm telling you, I am so excited
about our guest today. That will be up very shortly. We have Elder John and Mrs. Aventer Gray. And if you know, now you know. If you didn't know before, they got married back in December, on December 11th, 2010. Well, wait a minute. Today is August 11th. They were married on December 11th. That would make 8 months? Okay. Newbie. Oh, wow. God is awesome how he orchestrates everything. Yes, they are our special guests here on Legacy Leavers today. And they'll be coming up shortly. And we're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about marriage, and some people might say, well, how are they going to talk about marriage? They just got married, but you know what? Whatever God has ordained, let no man put asunder, and we know that God has truly brought the two of them together, and they are just blowing up and just traveling the world, doing global ministry together as one. I admire them so much. If you follow them on Twitter or on Facebook, you know, they send out little lovely tweets to each other. They're always talking, you know, that love talk. You know, I also admire, you know, Pastor Wise and First Lady Shajay. Shout out to you guys in Newburgh, Denver. I love when couples get on, you know, the World Wide Web and talk about love, talk about covenant, talk about what God has ordained, what God has brought together. Praise God, I celebrate you today, because you know what? We as single people hear so much negative stuff. And I've been married before, but I got divorced because that's just not what God had ordained to come together. But anyway, that's a whole other long story. Woo! Thank God for his mercy. Amen. You know, some of us, we went on and did our own thing. Even though God sent us warning, we went on and did our own thing anyway. But thank God for his forgiveness, his love, and his mercy. And I'm making sure when I go down that aisle again, it's the right one, A to the mend. But I praise and thank God for those who are happy, who are married and celebrating life. You guys walk together as one. You see, you have great visions. You're there helping one another out. You're doing what God has called you to do. And every time you come together, you know, God just do what he do. God just awesome. He's just awesome. Just know that marriage is truly a gift. Love is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not a curse. It's a gift. So I am excited about our guest today that's coming up very shortly. Anybody been around, you know, Elder John, I don't know where we're going to end up at. I know we're going to take off, but where we're going to end up at, I don't know. I said the topics are love, marriage, and global ministry, but y'all know he's a prophet. He walk in the prophetic anointing. His wife is off the chain. So I don't know exactly where we're going to end up at. All I can say is, you know, hold on, because we're going for an awesome, awesome ride. So I just thank and praise God for their life, their ministry, and they'll be up shortly talking about it. I also want to remind you, if you have not done it, oh, my goodness, you don't know what you are missing. Morning prayer, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wait a minute. Now, it's one thing when you pray. When you have your talk with God, you know, through Jesus Christ, you have the time with him because he desires that alone time, that relationship. But there are times where we just need some folk to hook up and pray with us and agree and set some things aflight and set some demons to stomp on their neck and twist their head off. You know, you need some good praying warriors. You need some folk that's touching and agreeing with you. Well, you know, for some things that might be in your family, in your bloodline, it might be a sickness that you're dealing with, it might be a child, you know, that can't stay out of trouble. It might be, and it may not even be a child that's in trouble. It might be some children that you were praying for, that doors will open up for their gifting to go forward. It could be you're single and you desire to get married, but you want to make sure it's the right one. I'm telling you, if you have not, you must join us for morning prayer Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, guess what? They have also not only just you call in, you can also go in via internet. Ah, is that not wonderful? That means no matter where you at, you can log in and listen to the prayer. You have an iPhone, you can do it. You got the iPhone or the iPad, you can also tune in that way. God is awesome. Whatever he put his hands on, just expect enlarge and make room to be enlarged. So the number is 760-569-7676. Again, that's 760-569-7676. Now, the access code, if you're calling by a phone, is 980-291-POUND. Again, it's 980-291-POUND. If you are logging in by way of internet or iPhone, just go to the New Birth website. That's newbirth.org website. Just log on there, and they'll give you instructions how to log in, and you can join in with the morning prayer. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. Over 2,000 or more plus people were doing by phone. It's double that. So if it says one could put 1,000, two, 10,000, just imagine every time somebody joins in prayer, we're doubling that. We're praying for the government. We're praying for the marketplace. Our Bishop, Bishop Long, just has a heart for people. He just loves people. He wants to see people blessed. He wants to see people set free and delivered. He wants to see single folk married. He wants to see single parents, you know, prospering. It hurts his heart when he sees, you know, struggle and people walking around with so much weight. He wants you to be free and be lifted. And so he has joined with other great pastors and leaders, Pastor Pierre out of the Poconos. We have Bishop Murphy out of Charlotte, New Birth Charlotte. I mean, sometimes he has Elder Stokes on and her sister, Minister Stokes. I mean, he just loves to make sure that as a shepherd, as a spiritual father, that we're all prosperous, that we're all doing what God has called us to do, those things that don't need to be attached to us. He wants us free and delivered so that we can walk in everything that God has called us to do. Again, that's 760-569-7676. The access code is 980-291-POUND. And if you are doing internet, just go on the newbirth.org website. Speaking of newbirth.org website, while you're on there, we have the Spirit and Truth Conference coming up in September 11th through the 14th. You don't want to miss that either. Registration is only $50. And they're also doing a benefit concert featuring Israel Houghton and Canton Jones. Yeah, that's right. Israel Houghton and Canton Jones, that's right. $27 are for the ticket, so you can buy everything, purchase everything right there on the website. Again, the conference is $50, and the concert is $27. Now, some of y'all already crying, $27, I call so much. You stop it. Miss Foundry going to put you on notice right now, because anything that you really want to do and really want to go to, and even if you don't have the money, you can find a way to get the money to go do what you want to do. Okay, I just said that. Now, I need you to go ahead on and find the money to do what you need to do and be at that concert. Support Kingdom Artists, support Kingdom Music. All right, so you got the conference, you got the concert coming up, and we have morning prayer Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I thank you also for, again, supporting Legacy Lever and Firestarters Kingdom Radio. We're all one. I need y'all to go to the Facebook page, click the like button on Firestarters Kingdom Radio, click the like button on Legacy Lever. You can follow me on Legacy_Lever or Miss Sandra Says, that's S-A-Y-Z, or you can follow Miss Jennifer Primus, who's out there doing great, awesome things out there in the West Coast. Shout out to Cali right now. She's out there doing some great things out there, but she'll be back on the East Coast soon. But in the meantime, you can follow her on Twitter at jprimus, that's P-R-I-M-O-U-S. And so we got some great and awesome things coming up. I'm getting ready to get back into some great music again. For our special guest, we have none other than Elder John and Mrs. Aventer Gray. And if you ever been in any of their presence, y'all know Elder John is also a comedian. You know, he always makes somebody laugh, but he also, again, has a great and powerful gifting and prophetic in the prophetic anointing. He is a prophet. His wife is just out of, you know, she's just an awesome prayer warrior, just a great supporter. The girl is bad. She can dance. She can choreograph. And she's just an all great around person. And I'm just so glad to know them personally for myself. They're like brothers and sisters to me. And so I love them dearly. They'll be up very shortly. Again, we're going to get ready to get back into some great music. Let's get down with Dawkins and Dawkins. Let's go. Thank you.
Walking, you can't go wrong.
get to walking. Just like Bishop Long said on Sunday, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Go get your stuff. Go get your stuff. That was Mary, Mary walking. And right before that, we had Dawkins and Dawkins get down. Now, I told you we have a very, very special, special show today. I don't even like to call it a show. I call it an experience because I just let the Holy Spirit have his way. And so however he leads, that's how it is. I don't know if I'm going to get back into any music because, again, once you've been around the Grays, I don't know if I'm going to play any more music. We're just going to let God do what he do through them. And I'm just so glad and so honored to have them on, and so glad that they said yes, because I know they're busy, they're traveling the world, his ministry has just expanded. Thank God that, you know, he found him the right rib, amen, and then God just showed his favor, and wow, he's just expanding. He's not only just doing ministry, but he's also doing, he's been doing movies and direct, he's just doing it all, and now he's got a beautiful woman by his side that's just helping him along. That's what we were designed for. She is truly his helpmate, his one by his side, not walking behind him, not walking in front of him, but I just see them just growing together. Every time I see them, they're just growing more and more closer. So I'm going to stop talking because I want them to have as much time as possible to minister worldwide across the Legacy Lever. I want to welcome today Elder John and Mrs. Aventer Gray. Welcome to Legacy Lever.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Hey. Girl, what you doing, girl?
What you do? I'm introducing you guys. I got you guys as guests. How y'all been? Well, you know,
man.
Wait a minute. Let me start off by saying happy 8 month anniversary. Did y'all like being
this?
Thank
you.
On the 11th.
Eighth month anniversary.
8 months went by fast.
Yeah.
Really bad.
8 months and one day today. Yeah, so I'm excited, Sandra. Let me just tell all your listeners, all 600 million of them all over the world right now, that we are, you're going to hear more music because I'm not sitting on here talking for an hour and a half. People want to hear, I'm walking, whatever they be saying. But we're going to have fun, and I'm excited. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of your vision. And I know you've been trying to schedule me for some time. And I'm Mr. Travel all over the world. So this is great. And then I got my wife with me, my baby. I got my baby.
Boy, you are terrible.
You are.
Hi, Miss Lysandra. How are you?
Hello there, Mrs. Aventer. I'm telling you now, you know, I have like a whole list of questions, you know.
Go ahead. We are ready.
We talked about that love. We're talking about marriage, and we're talking about global ministry. Now, I want to know, how have the two of you grown since you become married, when you first got married, and how have you seen each other grown closer?
Baby, go ahead. You go first.
How have we grown? What I want to start with is by saying that when you meet someone or when you decide that your friend is someone that you want to develop a relationship into something further, you're just meeting the person and you're trying to get to know them, but you really get to know someone when you marry them and when you live with them every day. We have grown so much closer because what we realize is that two is better than one. We lean and we depend on each other, and there are certain things that I am much better at than my husband, and there are others that he's much better at than I am, and I think that we've learned what complements each other, and as the days progress, it just makes us stronger. And really what I believe is that the more you pray together, the easier it is to stay together.
That sounded real churchy. I'm going to go and give you an offering. I'm going to come back in the other room and give you an
offering. Well, I need all the offerings. I appreciate
you got an offering. It's called my checking account. You use it at your leisure.
I'm sorry, did you say my checking account?
It's mine. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. That's the Bible.
the phone just went dead, everyone.
Sandra, let me go ahead and add to that. You know, I wanted her to go first because I have a tendency to manipulate conversations, not manipulate,
and
dominate.
Too much time.
Yeah, I be talking too much. I dominate the conversation, and I don't want to do that because I really want people to kind of hear her. My wife is pretty much a mystery to a lot of people because, you know, it's kind of like she came out of nowhere. You know, I'm a very public person. A lot of people know me for different things in ministry. But nobody ever really saw me in a public relationship. It wasn't that I wasn't in relationships in the past. They weren't. It just wasn't something that I was comfortable with everyone really attaching to and connecting with. And that, for the most part, was because I didn't feel a peace in my spirit about letting people into that aspect of my life. And there's another part that I sensed that God was not putting his amen on it. So I didn't want, you know, people attaching me to someone that I wasn't going to be with forever. You know, so, you know, for me, one of the things that I've learned is that marriage is God's deconstruction project. And a lot of people think that, you know, yes, two is better than one, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. That's Bible. But, and to become one flesh, but people miss the word become. That is a progressive word. It's a word that is kinetic. It's something that is constant. It is not the two became one flesh. It is a very violent, penetrative, uncomfortable process of letting go of who you were in favor and deference of who God wants you to be. So I've noticed God deconstructing who I was as he reconstructs and builds who he's always wanted me to be and who I've always desired to become. You know, I was never a person that spoke against marriage, but there were times when I felt, will I ever get married? Is there anybody out there for me? And I had some bad theology. I used to think that there was a such thing as the one. I really did. I felt like, yo, there is the one. And I still believe that, but here's what I believe about the one. The one is the choice that I make as I pray and seek God and allow his wisdom to develop, you know, my heart in line with his. But there is a choice that a man has to make. And a lot of men get hamstrung because they're afraid to make a decision. You have to notice, Sandra, that there are not a lot of marriages these days, and particularly in the African-American community, black men have not been taught and trained how to pursue a woman, how to court a woman, how to build a family. We are literally a generation of men who don't know how to pursue. Men know how to sleep with women and know how to have babies, but rarely are we seeing men court and marry and stay faithful in a marriage. And it's because we haven't been trained in it. We haven't been taught in it. And God had to develop something in me that I had never seen. And so for me, God had to deconstruct so many things in my life for me to be able. Baby, you out there and they out there cutting grass. You got to move away from the thing, girl. Go upstairs and do something. I'm sorry, Sandra. My wife all in the mix, you know. The Mexican people cutting the grass outside. You know you made it when you got Mexicans cutting the grass. Is that terrible to say on
yes,
the internet?
Yes, it is. What if she has Mexican listeners?
Well, we Mexican. You have Mexican. I married you.
Oh, gosh.
So why you can't come in here? That's why we got the thing. You got to go the other way, boo. Okay, so Sandra, like I was saying.
Girl.
So like I was saying, there are so many people that need to have an example. I surely don't. I'm not trying to set myself up as an example, but if God can teach me about how to be a husband and a father, he can teach anybody. And that's what I've learned. He is determined to get glory, and he wants it out of marriage, particularly now when there are states that are, developing you know, policies and procedures that are opposite of God's heart for marriage. God wants us to stand. And, you know, that's why I celebrate, you know, my wife for allowing me to choose her. She had options. You know, she's amazing. And, you know, brilliant, 3 degrees, smart, anointed, gifted, administrative, all of the things that I was not, you know, she was. And so my job is to love her every day and let her know that though she could have made a different choice, she could not have made a better choice.
I love it. I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, I have a list of questions, but I don't know if I want to go swing that way. I don't know if I want to go. I love what you said about, you said that the men have to make a choice because we've been trained, or not trained, but we hear about the one. And then you explained about the one is that basically making a choice. What was there, like, one thing about Aventer that, you know, you said, okay, this, she's definitely the one? Was there something?
Yep.
What was?
Her worship. I watched her worship.
I love it.
It was her worship.
Yes.
That's an honest answer. I watched her worship. I'd seen her for a year around the church. She wasn't talking to me. I wasn't talking to her. She wasn't checking for me. I wasn't checking for her. And when I saw her, I'd have an attitude. I'm like, she thinks she's cute. I'm not talking to her. And
that is terrible.
It's the truth. You know how cute
I did
girls,
not think I was cute. I was minding my own. I was there for ministry. I wasn't there looking for anybody, sir.
And I'm going to let you expound on that point right now. But I'm just going to answer your question. There was one Sunday where she had choreographed a dance to Nobody But Jesus, Vanessa Bell Armstrong. The Spirit of the Lord broke out at New Birth in a very unique way that day. And I found myself at the altar worshiping. I look over, and she's next to me worshiping. And I saw her worshiping, and I saw something in the spirit. And you cannot discern a wife in the flesh. A lot of men, a lot of high-powered men, marry women that look good. And fine, ain't nothing wrong with fine. But fine without substance will leave you hungering. Because after sex is over, you're going to need somebody to talk to, somebody to raise your kids. And light eyes and pretty eyelashes and long hair ain't going to do it. Not all the time. That's why women who are pretty find themselves just like women who other people may not see as attractive, which is relative. They cheat too, you know. So it's a whole bunch of women who are attractive to other people, but they don't make their man stay faithful. And so what I saw was something that I couldn't get anywhere else. I saw a pure heart in worship. And a woman that can worship is a woman that'll be a wife that can be trusted with a man's heart. So I'm going to let my wife go ahead and jump on that.
Well, basically, that you pretty much summed it up. She had asked you about one specific thing, and you said, my worship. And what people fail to realize is that you have to wait, well, women in particular fail to realize is that you have to wait to be found. I mean, oh, yeah, you're like, oh, I want a guy who goes to church, who loves the Lord, and all of that is great. But I think that the Lord knows the posture of your heart. It doesn't matter what setting you're in. So you could be at church, but you could be at church on the prowl as a woman looking or parading around trying to be seen. And basically I was focused on school. I was focused on ministry and what I felt the Lord had called me to do. And I was not worried about, I had been in a relationship prior and thought that I was going to marry someone. And that did not happen. And what I realized. See what I'm saying? I let you talk. You better stop.
Go ahead.
What I realized was that. See, you made me lose my train of thought, guy.
You said you thought you were going to marry somebody else.
Yes, yes. Okay, I thought I was going to marry someone else, and I had to place things into perspective. So there were a series of consecutive years that I had made up my mind that I needed to get my life in order and focused on the Lord, stay in his presence, focus on school, focus on developing my relationship with God. And once that was where I wanted it to be, I would be happy about the Lord adding to me. I was not looking for anyone. Certainly wasn't looking for John. I didn't know John. we were in the same church and ended up working in the same ministry, but I was taking cues from him as a leader, and that was it. You know, that was completely it. But my focus was ministry, and while there, he found me. So I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I was greatly, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost and understanding that the Lord would do for me the desires of my heart without me trying hard for it.
Go ahead, Sandra. You all quiet, all on the radio.
I'm listening, and I'm taking notes at the same time, because it's amazing how some of the top, what you're saying, we have, as single people, have discussed some of the same stuff that you're saying. But it seems like when we hear it, it seems like God continues just to reveal even more. And I love the fact, like you said, you loved her because you loved her worship, and she wasn't even looking, you know, and how God just orchestrated the two of you to come together. So I have a question for Mrs. Aventer. What is it like, okay, because we worked with him in ministry, and we know that's something, like, totally different. We already, I'm creative, but my creativity ain't nothing like, you know, I almost said Bishop John Gray. Jesus, but hold on, wait a minute, hold on.
Oh, now with that. Gone.
Where I was, I'm sorry, hold on. To be, what is it like living with him? I mean, because when we were in ministry together, I didn't know what to expect. He's like, okay, I want y'all to go out and get some tombstones and get some spider webs. And get some, oh, and we're going to do a grave. He expected us really to go dig a grave, you know, get some caskets and everything. So, you know, his creativity is just off the charts. I mean, he's just, you know, very blessed in that area. But what is it like with all of that, living with him?
John is a gift. He's he is a mass creative. You know, people, a lot of times everywhere we go, they're like, how do you function? Your stomach should always, and it really is. Like, I'm always laughing. But the thing about John is that the person you see who is funny, who is vibrant and charismatic, we just have that heart, that same heart. I'm funny. I think I'm funny. And he brings that out of me. So we play off of each other. And living with him is remarkable. I mean, there are, of course, we have to be serious. We have to handle life's responsibilities, and we do. However, we just have fun and the joy of the Lord as we do. And it is something I never could have imagined how wonderful it would be to live with this type of person every day. There are times where I have to tell him to bring it in, and that's just, you know, that's just, sometimes we have to tone it down because we have to handle things and we have to do things. But
you ain't never had to tell me to bring it. You
yes,
lying to these people
yes,
on this radio.
No, I'm not lying to these people. You shouldn't lie
to
me.
You don't never tell Daddy what to do.
Boy, I have told you that, okay, enough is enough. But if John is too serious, you know, on a certain occasion, I mean, you know, I'm checking temperatures and trying to see if he's okay, because it's just not him. This is who God made him, full of life, very, you know, charismatic, a person who just loves people. He loves people he's easily connected to, and I believe that you have to be a certain type of person to live with him as his wife and understand that. I don't have a problem with that.
That's why I chose you and put that fat rock on your hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Put that $300
I'm
on.
I'm just saying, when the world needs a gift, it's to be shared. It's not to be, you know, selfish with. So, I mean.
I appreciate that about my wife, too, that she allows me to be who I was created to be. I think it would be a disservice to my own heart had I married somebody that was isolated and insular and insecure, you know, and you know, marriage is a weird thing because it brings out the best and the worst in you. Because there's been some really, really unsavory things about my character. Not my character, but about my personality. That's the better word. My character is straight. It's my personality. There are things about me that came out. Being in living life with someone every day, you can't escape the reality of who you actually are. There's the projected image. There's who people think you are. Then there's who you actually are. Most of us never allow people to see who we actually are. And my constant prayer is, God, make me one. What I mean by that is who I am on that pulpit is who I am at the house. You know, you're not going to get
true.
Two different people. You know, I love God, period. That's why I have power when I preach. That's why the Lord allows me to go all over the world. It's not because I'm charismatic. It's not because I'm the best. It's because I love him, and I'll give my life for this.
Yeah, it's authentic. And that's what I'm happy about, knowing that when I'm sitting and listening to him, as other people are, that I'm not thinking to myself in my head, whatever kind of thing, because I know the real you. The real you, the real John, is who everyone else sees when he's ministering, when he's speaking life to kids and leaders everywhere we've been for the past 8 months and just supporting him and knowing that the person's vision that I'm supporting is an authentic one, that it's not fabricated, that it is exactly what he's stating while he's up there. I'm not, you know, like some others who are sitting and watching and just crying inside like, this is a total lie. How could he say this? How could he do this? I'm very confident in what he says and what he's going to say because he is living it and we do try to live it.
No, I don't. I would even go a step further. We don't try to live it. We do live it. We're not. We're just like everyone else. We're human. So
that's what I'm saying when I say try.
Yeah,
I don't want to make it seem like we're perfect. I'm just saying, you know, we're battling flesh because, you know, of who we are, who, you know, we were all born into sin. I'm just saying that we live what we say.
Yeah, now that's the truth. And, you know, when I talk about character and integrity, there are only a couple of things that I really want to be successful at in life, and that's being a faithful husband and a present God-honoring father. That's it. Everything else would be cool. But those are the only things that really matter to me in my life. And I surround myself with people like that. They love their wives. They don't mess around. We're not joking around. We don't flirt. We don't play any games. You know, I'm under no illusions. When I got married, I'm sure there were tons of people saying, that ain't going to last because they think they know me. But there's only a few people that actually know me. And what I project and what I give in the public setting is not who I am in the private setting. And I love the fact that, you know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And, you know, people looking at my relational history would say, that doesn't look like a person that will be successful in a marriage. He's an only child, 37 when he got married, stuck in his ways, you know, serial dater, you know, never really, you know, committed long term. And I'm telling you that
you were a serial dater?
Oh, yeah, I dated, honey. I was a gangster.
Now,
dating.
How is it? Can I ask you a question? How is it that you dated and all you talk about other people is courting?
Yeah, well, you have to know the difference between what I was and what I is.
What you is.
Yeah, because,
what
you know,
is.
I mean, you know, and the funniest thing about my wife, I told her everything. I told her everything about everybody I'd ever kicked it with, dated, all of that. She knows every single name. So if any of y'all listening that used to ever kick it with me and think that it's some secret, when my wife see you, she already know.
Oh, yeah, I do. But see, this is the thing. It doesn't matter. It's not the fact that I know. I'm grateful and gracious that you shared it with me, and the same for you. I shared everything with you, so there's nothing anyone can tell you that you don't already know, and I appreciate that. I'm very happy about the fact that you were honest and with me when we decided that this may be going somewhere opposite of a friend, of not opposite of a friendship because we are best friends, but I mean beyond a friendship.
Right.
So when that transpired and all things good, bad, and ugly come forward and you can still stand with that person, then that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the person that you need to be with. I'm not worried about, you know, your serial dating. It was where you were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all of us have done things that we are not proud of. And
Yes, Lord.
Things have shaped where we are. They had to help us get to a point. And I'm grateful for those experiences. You know, some of the experiences that you had, I'm sure you're grateful for because you saw, like you said, things that you didn't want and things that you did want.
Yeah.
In a person.
Well, hold on. We talking. Lasandra, come on with another question. We just all in, y'all.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying the conversation. And I was like, okay, they're just flowing together. And I'm like, maybe I'm the one that's calling in. And you guys are just like, conducting an interview. I don't. But, okay, so we're going to move forward to, I want to know, what is it like working together in ministry and being able to travel with your mate, your best friend. I mean, what is that like to be able to do that?
You want to go first?
No, I would like for you to answer. And then,
well, I love it. You know, I've been in public traveling ministry in some form or fashion since I was 22 years old. So that's 16 years that I've been on the road. You know, I literally can go to just about any city and can name the hotels, name the restaurants, whether I was touring in a gospel stage play or, you know, preaching or something. You know, the loneliest time is after you minister. Anybody who does what I do, whether you're an evangelist or you're an actor, any of that, where a lot of these folk get in trouble is the high of the stage does not coincide with the quiet of the hotel. And so that's where guys who are married, if their spouse is not with them, they get caught up because they get all of this attention from people in the lobby of the theater or at a church, and, oh, you bless my spirit, which is a nice way of saying I really like you. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't keep yourself covered or have really, really strong accountability, you will fail. And that's just the reality of it. And so for me, I didn't get married for my wife to stay at the house. I got married for her to travel with me. And I told her, you know, I can't promise you, I can only promise you a couple things. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to raise our kids. I'm going to love you. But it's going to be a faith adventure. It's going to be a roller coaster. So if you want to take a roller coaster ride, come on, go. If not, get you a guy that works 9 to 5, and you know he's going to make him a hot $40,000 a year. And, you know, in 25 years, if there's still Social Security, y'all can rock that out. But if you're going to roll with me, we're going to take some chances, and that's how we're going to roll. You know, and she's gotten on the planes. My wife is, you know, gold, about to be platinum on Delta, and we only in August. You know, she's already traveled over 50-something thousand miles this year alone with me, and I love it. You know, some guys are like, I don't want my wife. Something wrong with you. How do you not want the rest of you with you? You can't even function at maximum level if she's not there.
I love that. How could you not want the rest of you with you? I'm going to have to tweet that one.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you credit, though.
Go ahead,
well,
do that. How you not going to want the rest of you with you? It's awesome. We get to travel, go to the hotels, you know, and kick it. Every time we travel, it's a honeymoon, you know, because this whole first year, I told my wife, the first year of our marriage, I'm not putting down a whole bunch of rules. Because at first I thought I was going to have to put down all these rules. And the Holy Ghost was like, no, the first year, you need to just discover. You got to learn. You got to get into a rhythm. You know, I ain't never lived with nobody. She ain't never lived with nobody. So, and even if we did, we ain't never lived with each other. And we ain't never lived in covenant. So you got to learn the rhythm of another person. So you got to spend time. You know, and I just really applaud my wife because my schedule is crazy. I've traveled probably 125,000 miles this year already, you know, and, you know, for my wife to step up to the plate and be who she's been, so strong. But this is what I did, Sandra, and I say this to any man who does what I do. My wife is not just a sit-at-home wife. I put her in charge of my company. And so she handles the day-to-day operations, contracts, negotiations. And it's not just you, my wife, so you got to do it. She's on payroll. She gets her own separate payroll check. And she was doing real well because she's got a master's degree. So I took her salary and added to it and said, you don't got to work. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you more than what they paying.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right. Iba ba shata.
Okay.
So, you know, and she gets to sleep. And she gets.
Oh, my God. I also sleep with my boss.
Yeah, she sleeps with the boss. So, all kinds of benefits.
She got it. I love it.
But my wife has health insurance. My wife has health insurance, dental insurance. She gets paid full time, and she makes her own hours, and, you know, she gets to travel. And that does not come out of her salary. And so I didn't just say, you know, I'm going to do this. This is us. And that's what I love. So I love having her travel. I let her tell you the rest.
Yeah, I actually love it as well. I love it because my husband pours out so much to everybody. I have to be there to restore him. I have to be there to pray over him. I have to be there to pray with him and for him prior to ministry as he's ministering. You know, if the atmosphere in the room is not conducive to, you know, and not welcoming of the Spirit, I'm there fighting and warring with him so it can break up. Give him a word, Lord, for this house, for this moment. And he does it every time. Every time he does it. I'm not able to go every time, of course, but I've been there the majority of the time since we've been married. And like he says, I am working because, you know, some people are like, so you're not working, but I am. I have 38 messages I need to return right now for him. It's a fully functional company that is expanding. And I'm grateful that I have, you know, the educational background to fulfill it and to help him. And I mean, I'm sure he won't mind me saying that we've experienced, you know, some exponential growth since the marriage. I knew the workings of the company that he shared with me once we got married, but I didn't know fully what all it entailed until I became, you know, a major part of it. And once that happened, I was like, oh, wow, we can do this a little bit different. We can add here, subtract there, you know. And what I realized, too, is that I do have education and I do have things to fall back on. If at any time that I need to take care of my husband, I'm well qualified to do so. I can go. I keep my licensures current, all of my certifications, registries current. So in the event that I need to take care of him, we're going to be fine, and I don't mind doing it.
Boom! That's what I'm talking right. Ooh, yes, yes. Y'all on fire. I don't even know what to say. I'm just like, oh. That's one of those. I have a Selah moment. I'm just having a Selah moment, just a Selah moment. I love it. I love it. I don't know what other words to say except God, when he does stuff, he goes above and beyond anything we can even think or imagine. And so, you know, I just need a moment to just give God some praise for the both of y'all. So I'm going to go into this track with Ken Jones. My praise is always necessary. If y'all could just, anybody listening, just celebrate with me. Celebrate life. Celebrate love. Celebrate their marriage. How I love the fact, Aventer, when I saw your email and I got your email back, I love it. It says CEO. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, Elder John, it's got to be such a weight lifted that you have somebody that you know you can trust running your whole company.
Absolutely.
And being able to take your vision and being able to pray over it and
just you give her one thing and then she come back with 20 other different things that you can expand and expound on. I love it. So I'm glad to get into this track. We're going to come back and talk about some more about ministry. Global ministry is one, marriage, what y'all love to do together that is just so exciting, or what you like to do that you like to be surprised. Or we're going to get back into all of that. So no one go anywhere. We're going to get into this next track, Ken Jones, Necessary.
Ken Jones.
People that are married now, they don't like each other. they're happy when they're not in each other's presence. And these two are like best friends. And I love it. They worship together. They pray together. They travel together. They just love on one another, you know. And they're learning, continuing to learn. Today is their 8-month anniversary. They were married in December 11th on 2010. And today is their 8th month anniversary. And so I'm just glad to just have them on. I'm glad that they said yes, and we are back, and we're going to get back into some more good nuggets. This is just awesome and great. I'm getting text messages like, ooh, they off the chain. I said, I know. I'm just excited with them. I'm just excited with you guys.
Lissandra, and let me say this to you. I want to bless you in front of your listeners. You know, I'm so proud of you because I'm sure you've shared your testimony, things you've had to walk through and, you know, raising your kids and the things that you, you know, had to endure throughout the years. But I just celebrate your vision and celebrate, you know, the tenacity with which you pushed to get your vision accomplished. So proud of you. And it's my prayer that this will become a stream of revenue, that it will begin to bless you financially, that you won't ever have a need that God, that you will, you know, not have a resource for. And that's just my prayer. I just wanted to speak words of blessing. And I'm telling you, as clear as the sun is out, that my words are not falling to the ground in this season. God is doing the miraculous. So I just wanted to say that before we get started again. And my wife and I speak blessings and life over you, and uncommon abundance and favor and increase and overflow. Come to your house now.
That's right. And absolutely.
Jesus, thank you. I just want to, can I just take a moment to just share something real quick? Elder John, I think it was about two years ago. Yeah, because we were still working in ministry together. I wrote it down. I got to find it in my journal. I wrote it down. And God told me, he's like, at the time you're a minister, John, he's like, he has a word for you. And I was like, okay, Lord. So I'm thinking, I said, well, God, he ain't never said nothing to me. And leading up to this interview, God reminded me of what I wrote down in the journal, what he told me a couple years ago. He's like, John has a word for you. And it's going to be like a release word. And so when you started, he's like, I just wanted to say a blessing over you. I said, God, that's the word you told me 2 years ago, that he has a message to give me, has a release to give me. And so I just thank you for your obedience, because it's confirmation what God, I wrote down in the journal about two years ago, that you had a word that was going to be released to me from you. And I just pray and thank God for that.
This is a season of unprecedented favor for you, and it is necessary so that people's faith will increase. God has to bless you significantly, because people do not respond to the average. This is not the culture of average. They respond to the extraordinary. So God has to do something extraordinary. So God only moves based on the release of his word. And once his word is released and it's activated and God repeats or has someone to repeat in the earth what he's already declared over you, then it becomes active in your life. And today, the word of the Lord that has been penned up, and for some measure, of course, the enemy never wants it to get to you, so in some places held back, just is released over your life now. So expect harvest of health, new opportunities, increase in joy, rest in the spirit, but then also financial increase in your accounts, as well as houses, land.
Mm-hmm.
Expect for God to do for your heart what you've been doing for others by seeding their dreams and speaking into relationships. Expect for God to give you the thing that you thought was probably too far gone to get. But you're gonna see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's coming to pass.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Oh, praise God. Now, before I go and, you know, drop the phone or drop the mic and all this stuff and mess around and click everybody off and mess I just want you, because we're in that atmosphere, I need you to, and I don't want to get too far off, but I have you on here. you and your wife need to share that faith testimony that you did about your mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
while you're doing that,
just flow into, because every experience that we have, I don't really call it a show, I call it experience. I want you to also offer Christ. I'm just gonna let you talk. I'm gonna sit back, cause I want God to have His way. But as you're ministering and talking about your mom and in that faith, oh my goodness, I just also want you to talk about how people that are listening that may not know Christ or have strayed away, how they can be reconnected. So just flow with His spirit. Y'all go ahead on. I'm going to just sit back, and I'm going to just let y'all go ahead and do what you do.
Well, my first thing, Sandra, my wife is getting ready to switch phones. She's in transit, so she's going to call right back in, but I'm staying right here, and I wanted to share with your listeners what the Lord has done. Most people believe that God is only good enough for salvation. They believe that Jesus, sure, they believe He's the Son of the living God. They believe that. But He's bigger than salvation. Salvation is an intangible thing. But there is miracles. There are miracles that are designed to come to the people of God. And it says, in my name, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. They'll cast out demons. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They will, you know, take up serpents, and it will by no means harm them. Drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them. That's Mark 16. But we don't see that. What we have is a culture of entertainment where people are entertained in church, but there's no true change in church. You know, we do our dutiful attendance, but I want you to know that God is a healer. I said God is a healer to everybody listening. I'm telling you that He's real. On June 23rd, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic pancreatic cancer, metastasized to her liver, spleen, duodenum, bile duct, biliary tubes, lesions on her liver, scratches on her liver, tumors everywhere. The doctor said there's no hope. We can offer you pain medicine, but there is no cure for what you have, and there's no surgery for it, and you only have months to live.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said, God made me a promise, and He's going to heal me. I'm not going anywhere.
Anywhere.
And here's the thing that people forget. There are people, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, there are people that are dead that, had they known the word, would still be alive. You must understand that the word of God is the authority in the earth, not cancer, not man, not devils. And don't you ever accuse God of bringing sickness. God does not bring sickness to teach His children a lesson. You have to know the word. John chapter 10:10 says it is the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Cancer is a destructive disease. It destroys healthy tissue. He said, but I've come that you'd have life and that more abundantly. And so you've got to know that it's not that people blame God for sickness. And God is not the one that brings sickness. Okay, awesome, babe. He will allow sickness, but it's only because all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called, the called out chosen ones, the ecclesia. And
that's
so
right.
God has decided that my mother could be trusted with pain. A lot of people don't want that testimony. But you've got to be trusted with trials. So many people's faith is so weak, they know so little about the living God. But when your name comes up in a cosmic conversation, come on, Job, have you considered my servant Job? He's faithful in all my house. It wasn't God bringing up Job. What God was saying is, you've been looking at Job, haven't you? That's what He was saying, and preachers never get that right. It wasn't God saying, I want you to mess with him. God is saying, you've been trying to get to Job for a minute. And notice what the devil said. He said, will you put a hedge of protection around him? What that means is the enemy was looking at his life trying to find a way in and couldn't find one. The devil is not the opposite of God. He ain't got
That's right.
the same power as God. He ain't got an arm like God. He ain't got nothing. Like, he is created, and he's got to ask God for permission to mess with a child of God. I wish believers would understand the power of the God they serve. There's power in the name of Jesus because he's got the authority over sickness. My mother declared in the atmosphere the truth of God's word over the facts of a doctor's report. Long story short, my mother went back to the doctor. They've been going back and forth since this whole thing started. And last week, while my wife and I were in Seattle, Washington, we got the final place of this doctor. There was an ugly doctor. He might be listening. An ugly, ungodly, unsaved, no Holy Ghost doctor who said the second CAT scan showed no cancer, but I got a test that'll show me right where it is. There's no way you don't have cancer. It's somewhere in there. So they did every single test they could. And he came back with a sad face to announce there is no conclusive evidence of cancer in your body and there are no more tests that can be done. My mother said, I'm sorry, say that again, sir, the one that said that there was cancer somewhere. You have to acknowledge that your medicine and your science and your study have no answer for God. People want to say, ain't no God. People want to say he's not real. And scientists want to say, well, you know, God doesn't respond to our scientific equations. They'll tell you, scientists will admit, Sandra, there are many things that they don't know, but they will never tell you that there is something of which they can never know. You can't figure out God. He's bigger than your knowledge. He can't be found out in a book. He can be studied, but you will never apprehend him. There is no way that medicine has an understanding of what happened in my mama's body. I declare that the sickness and the tumors were gone. On her pancreas, gone. Liver, gone. Spleen, gone. Duodenum, gone. Bile duct, gone. No cancer, nowhere. On Thursday, it was everywhere. By Tuesday, it was nowhere. You tell me God ain't real. You tell me Jesus don't save. You tell me he doesn't cover his children. You tell me he doesn't reward those who are faithful. Don't get me shouting on your radio show, but I'm telling you, he healed my mama. And it wasn't no medicine. They had nothing. They couldn't figure it out, and they still can't. And they never will until they acknowledge that, God, you are great and greatly to be praised, and your ways are past finding out. Until they get where David is, how wonderful are your thoughts towards me. They're more than the grains of sand.
That's right.
That's the God I serve. He healed my mama.
Amen.
I'm sorry. You got me shouting. You shouldn't have brought my mama up.
You go ahead on. I need
your listeners to know that God is able to do what they need. And stop asking God if it's his will that you get healthy. Well, Lord, if it's your will, you need to know his word. His word is his will. He said, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Of course it's his will that you're healthy. You ain't even allowed to be sick. Jesus died for that. What are you still doing holding on to it? Well, this is my diabetes. I got blood sugar. No, you don't. It might come to your body. Sickness may come to you, but it don't belong to you. Jesus took that in Isaiah 53:4. What are you still doing holding on to it? That's not your HIV. That ain't your herpes. Those ain't your tumors. That ain't your sickle cell. He took that. He bore our iniquities and carried our griefs. You better read that word and study it in the Hebrew. That means he took our diseases. He took it. So what you doing with it? And until we access the power of the word, the body of Christ will look like the rest of the world. A bunch of people run into a building on Sunday with no power when you leave and no anointing while you're there. Those days are over. I'm telling you, God is real. He's a healer. And I don't need to go to church to tell you. I saw it at a doctor's office, a bunch around of non-believers.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you this. God's breaking out in the miraculous for people who don't believe. You got to know that God is able to heal and deliver and set free in ways that you cannot imagine. I'm going to shut up, baby. You can talk.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I'm just sitting here thanking the Lord because who knows why we have to deal with certain things that we deal with. We dwell in miracles. I mean, your mother and my mother 11 years ago, in short version of the miracle that I was born from, my mother
had three aneurysms in her head. Three. I was 18 years old, and they came to pick me up from Florida A&M University to tell me that my mother was dying. She had three aneurysms, two ruptured, one bubbling, and an atheist was scheduled to perform her surgery. An atheist. This surgeon. My mother never goes to any type of church service on a Tuesday, but she was in one on the Tuesday when she fell to the floor with those aneurysms. And the one lady that she had invited to church that evening, in passing from a post office, showed up with her cell phone and called the ambulance to take her to the medical center. And there, the doctor said, this surgery will take about 8 hours, and I'm too tired to start on her this evening. So whatever it is that you do, prayer, whatever it is, that's what's going to have to keep her through the night so I can start on her fresh in the morning. Now, mind you, he's saying whatever it is that you do because he doesn't believe. He thought he would arrive the next morning and she would have already, you know, passed away. God kept her through the night. The doctor said that even if the surgery was successful, she would be a vegetable. She wouldn't know us. She wouldn't walk. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't speak. She wouldn't know anyone. Again, she would just be here. I can't tell. I can't tell 11 years later. The doctor himself said that once he got in there, he had no clue what happened with his hands. They just took over. He did everything perfect. She recovered completely and is still here 11 years later and knows everybody, walks around perfectly, knows what's going on, where she's going, every usher board meeting, every church auxiliary she can be a part of, everything. It was the Lord, and if for no other reason, it was to save one person that she went through that. And now he believes. And now her story is up in that hospital.
Hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love when you if for nothing else, it was just him that the Lord had to show himself strong. You know? So the Lord is our mother. That's right. That's right. So we see miracles. We live miracles around here. Be careful. You might just get one if you're on this phone listening.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lord and honor our mothers and honor our parents because we know what we were born from.
That's right.
We
and I'm
going to
tell you something. And when my wife says we knew where we came from, I tell you, 100 times out of 100 times, Lissandra, I would have chosen the wrong person on my own. In my flesh, I would have chosen something very different, and it would have ended in my demise over time or very suddenly. I would have chosen that which only pleased the external. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, I was able to marry a miracle, and you can only discern that through the Spirit. I married a woman three sizes too big for me. When somebody is growing, you don't get your kids the shoes the size they are. You get them for the size they're going to be. I feel the
right.
Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes,
I married
yes.
a woman
yes.
three sizes too big. I was already established in my profession, but I needed to become a husband, a father, and a legacy leader. And I married somebody who could meet me at each one of those levels. She will allow me to be a husband. I'll develop as that, and when God sees fit, my children will get here, then I'll become a father, and then after that, I'll become a mentor and a legacy leader, and that's the third and final phase. And so I married a woman three sizes too big because I knew where God was calling me to go, and had I married for where my flesh was, I would have married for where I was, not where I was going, and then when I got where I was going, I would have looked back and realized I married somebody three sizes too small.
Now that was powerful right there. Oh my goodness, I like the way I see. I'm gonna be tweeting this afternoon and tomorrow, yeah, and putting it on Facebook, and I'll make sure you get. You know, I put
John,
you ain't got to do that, baby. You say it. Once it's out, it's public domain.
Now, I need you guys in your own way because, again, you guys are already ministers. You're already doing what God is willing. We won't go into that. But, again, there's listen from what you talked about with the story and the miracle from both your moms. And I thank you, Mrs. Abinter, for sharing that because I didn't know that about your mom. I did not know that. And so that was the first time hearing about that, and that just increased my faith even more. Every time I hear you, John, talking about the faith miracle with your mom, when you shared it that night, I was just like, okay, God, I thought I knew something, but after hearing Elder John Gray and now hearing his wife, Abinter, my faith level is just grown even more. So I praise and thank God that you guys continue to share that because I'm telling you, it's doing some stuff in me that God is saying, do you see, do you see, do you hear, do you hear? And so I thank you, and I pray that you guys continue to share that across the world. And as we're getting down to the last, 15, 20 minutes of the program, I just want you in your own way, or you guys in your own way, to share Christ. It could be what he means to you. Might be somebody that's listening that has to go for surgery tomorrow, and they're hearing you, and they want to make sure they have Christ. They may not have Christ. So I just wanted you guys to take a few minutes to just share Christ in your own way.
Hold on. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We getting packages at the door.
I will just start by saying, and then I'll let John go ahead and finish this, that everything the Lord does is motivated by perfect love. There is nothing that the Lord does that is by chance. Nothing is by accident. Everything is in perfect order. Everything, every situation, every trial, every obstacle is we encounter those things to help us to get back to him. Everything. He spoke us. So we're all created with a purpose. So those of you who feel like you don't have a purpose, you don't have a ministry, you don't have anything you're good at, you as you are is enough for God. Honestly, Jesus, the way he loves us is so profound. Every day that we wake up is a miracle. That in itself is a miracle. And I just thank the Lord for his amazing love towards us. I thank him for his promises in his word. And I thank him for his presence. And I thank him that I'm growing to love him and know him more and more every day. This is a way of life for me. It has to be a way of life for everyone who is listening. Just to know that you are a word that was spoken. And when you were spoken, it was not by accident. Whatever family situation you came from, whatever household, the town you were born in, down to the parents who created you and made you, everything was in God's perfect will. And that's what you have to keep in mind. Circumstance does not make you. Therefore, it cannot break you. You have to know who you are.
Amen. And so I know, you guys are so God, always busy, but I thank God for y'all. Y'all are fly, though, because y'all like, okay, we got the Mexicans out there cutting grass. Okay, go in another room. Okay, we got back. Okay, but y'all kept it going. Y'all stayed on. You didn't say, well, we got to get off because we got other things to do. And I just thank you again for sacrificing your time. And God is just definitely going to continue to bless you guys richly. I do have just one last thing that I would like to leave with your listeners around the world. What is it that you can share or give words of wisdom for those who are, I don't even want to say in waiting, but, we desire to get married. What are some words of wisdom that you would like to leave with those who are single?
Babe, you want to go first and I'll end it?
Uh-huh. What I want to share with single women particularly is that make sure you know the word. Know what it says. There's nowhere in the Bible that it speaks of the Lord telling a woman that a man is her husband. That just isn't in there. You know, I don't know where we got that from, and the Lord told me you were my husband and all of that. That is just not the truth. What you want to do is make sure that you know the word for yourself, so that when you are met with a situation that is created out of flesh, that you have a God answer for that situation. Make sure that you are keeping yourself for your husband, and I do mean your husband, no one else's husband, but your husband. Make sure that you are hiding yourself. You can wait to be found. You don't have to chase a man. Wait on the Lord to give you the promises and the desires of your heart, and he will. He will do that. I know experience. I know what I've walked through, and I know that immediately when I did not think about it, I knew for a long time that I wanted to be a wife. I wanted to be a good wife, a God-honoring wife, an amazing mother, because that's what I'd seen. That's where I'd come from, a long lineage of, you know, full marriages through thick and thin, 30, 40 years. My parents working on 43 years. My grandparents dying married 69 years. I mean, that's what I saw. And I know that's not everybody's testimony, but it is mine. So that was a desire for me to know that I wanted to be that person, to keep that going as a part of my legacy, to be the best wife I can possibly be and the best mother, raising my children to love and to know God and making sure that I myself am in line with the perfect will of God and honoring and submitting to my husband as he honors me and making sure that I was not going to prematurely enter into the wrong marriage like I was headed down the wrong avenue to do, making sure I did not do that, keeping myself hidden, keeping myself focused on work, school, and the ministries that I was called to, and that is where the Lord met me. That is where he brought me my husband.
Amen. And so, Elder John?
I'm going to just say this for men. God got out of the arranged marriage business back in Genesis when he put Adam and Eve together. And Adam decided to blame God and said, the reason I fell is because of the woman you gave me. Now men have to make a choice. God will lead you by virtue of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will lead you, but you'll still have to make the choice, because the responsibility lies with you to make sure that you do the work necessary to cultivate your marriage and your relationship. People will always say, well, what about, you know, Boaz and, you know, Ruth but they miss the culture, the climate of the culture and the history and the customs of the people. Kinsman Redeemer was a part of being in that culture, the Middle Eastern culture of that time, and he was number two in line to marry her. But there was somebody in front of Boaz. Nobody ever talks about him. And Boaz said, it's in line. It's for you to redeem her. But if you don't, I will. So whoever was in front of him missed his chance to marry a queen. That's his fault. But Boaz, he made the choice. But it was a choice. And so people are like, well, you got to lay at the feet of a man. Don't use Middle Eastern customs and try to apply it to today. You don't put yourself in a position to be in front of no man. A real man knows what he wants, and ain't no man trying to trying to check for no woman that's always in his face. It's just not going to happen. You will get a weak man that way. And so I encourage men, when you are sincere about getting married, make the choice. And don't be using no excuse like, we ain't got no money and I need time. What you need time for? A lot of dudes that say they ain't got money that's already sleeping with her. You ain't got money to marry her, but you got, you ain't got enough money to marry her, but you got enough to sleep with her. You know, I think that's interesting. You know, the reality is you just don't want to commit. And I understand that. I'm not dogging you out. But if you're on this phone and you're listening to this radio show, then you need to make a decision. Grab the woman that you want, marry her. Women respond to covenant. Women stay with dudes that ain't no good. What will they do with a man that does right by their heart? How many women do you know, Sandra, have been with a no good dude? He did wrong, had kids, cheated, this, that, and the third, and she stayed. And she, because I love him. What she's saying is, I see what he could be.
That's
women
right.
have always been given the gift to see what a man
yes.
could be. But
yes.
but now, man, it's time for you to step up to the plate and just make a choice. And when you make the right choice, your life will be blessed. I'm exponentially blessed. I'm booked into 2013. I told my wife we're taking no more dates. I'm done till 2013. Not
Hallelujah.
Next year.
Amen.
2 years.
Awesome.
I ain't got no time. God has done it. You know, and it's because I married the right one. Could I have chosen somebody else? Yes. Did I date other people? Yes. Was I engaged? Yes. None of it worked out, and I'm glad it didn't, because this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. So I would encourage men, make a choice. You find a wife, you find a good thing, and you obtain favor. So make the choice, and then live with it and rejoice in it, and that's my advice.
That's some good advice. I just want to know when y'all going to write the book so I can get one. Make sure you sign it for me. Thank you.
Oh,
and I want a picture. I want a picture, okay?
All right.
I want to know when the book coming out. Your book to 2013. Look at God. Oh,
yep.
My goodness. And you have your wife managing and CEO of your company. You can't lose. There's no way you can lose. You can't lose. You're just going higher and higher. I'm just so honored that you took time. Y'all took time out today. I thank and praise you. I know you guys got to get going, and we're down to the last few minutes, so God bless you. Thank you for being obedient and releasing that word. I'm going to listen to that over and over again. Thank God that the shows are recorded so I can listen to it over and over and over again until I get all down in my spirit. I thank you, Mrs. Aventer, for, you know, just making sure everything was arranged this afternoon. God bless you and what you continue to do to support your husband and being his best friend and prayer warrior and covering him so he can do what he do. I love y'all.
Thank
something.
You.
That's
love
what
you
it
too.
Meant. All that meant,
love
I love
you
y'all.
Too.
So thank you so much. God bless you and continue to just continue to take this world, these nations by storm. Thank you for being our special guest here on Legacy Libra.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Yeah.
We all have overcome.
I am just so, I don't know, I'm just, y'all, I'm just full right now. That's what it is. I'm just overwhelmed. Again, we had today, if you missed and you just, you know, logged on or if you're just calling in, we had none other than Elder John and Mrs. Aventer Gray. We talked about love. We talked about marriage. He gave words of wisdom to the men about making a choice and choosing who, you know, for a wife. If you missed it, he has his wife, Mrs. Aventer Gray, who was also the CEO of his company. He also said that he's booked. He is booked to 2013, and she manages it, all of it. She is on his salary. He gets she gets benefits. What else can your woman ask for? She gets to fly with her husband. She gets to pray over her husband. She gets to speak words of encouragement into him. She gets to make sure she helps carry out that vision. She can go to God about everything. And just he can just be free to be who God has called him to be, and they're doing it as one together. So if you know anyone that missed it or you want to share it, guess what? You can share this episode, this experience for free. You can download it for free. It recorded the whole show. You can just download it for free. All you can do is go to blogtalkradio.com/legacy-lever, and it'll be there, and you'll see it under Elder John Gray, Mrs. Aventer Gray, today's date. You can download that to your computer. You can share it on any social network. I mean, how good is God? Y'all need to listen to everything that they said. They talked about the faith miracles of both their moms today. They offered Christ. I mean, God is just doing whatever he put his hands to. He just goes above and beyond. I have so enjoyed being your host for this afternoon. Again, this is Miss Sandra. You can follow me on Twitter at Miss Sandra Says or Legacy_Lever. I can be found on Facebook under LaSandra J. Hardy, or you can click the like button on the fan page of Legacy Lever or Firestarters Kingdom Radio. Also, shout out to Ms. J, who's doing her thing out there in the West Coast. You can follow her on Twitter at J Primus, that's PRIMOUS. Again, don't forget about morning prayer, which happens every morning, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. The call number is 760-569-7676. The code is 980-291-POUND. Or if you prefer to listen via internet, you can just log on to the New Birth website at newbirth.org. If you have any testimonies or prayer requests, make sure you mail that into morningprayer@newbirth.org. Again, shout out to my bishop, my daddy, my spiritual father, Bishop Eddie L. Long, First Lady Elder Vanessa Long, the Long family. Right now, Bishop is overseas in South Africa, just ministering and allowing God to just do what he do through him. And I am just so proud of being tied to him and being a minister under his leadership. I can't ask God for nothing more than to be tied to one of the best bishops here in this side of heaven. Amen. So God bless you. Again, we'll be back on Sunday. I'll have Radio Alexander, also known as Alex Haynes, entrepreneur, IT tech, all DJs in all of it. So if you want to learn how to get into the IT world, how to own your own business, he's also a motivational speaker, leadership developer. You don't want to miss Sunday's show. That's 6 to 8 p.m. this Sunday, August 14th. He will be my special guest. You also can follow him on Twitter at Radio Alexander. So, again, we're getting ready to rock out with a little bit of Voices of Unity called Judah. Judah, be blessed. Love you with the love of the Lord. And until we meet again, let us continue to walk in peace, love, and unity. God bless you.
B-O-U. I got a new praise for you. Get up.
Let me hear you pray. God bless you. Blessings.